O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
And welcome to this edition of the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. And for those folks, if there's still some folks hanging around from the Straight Line and with Stevie's show, we do apologize. We were stuck out on the road and ran into all kinds of logistical problems getting into the studio, and then had more complications trying to get in touch with Stevie, who was trying to get in touch with me. And I guess we'll just sort it all out. The stars weren't aligned right tonight for that whole deal. But anyway, we're back here with myself, Jack Smith, and Terry Wall for the next hour to talk about one of America's most exciting short track racing series, the ASA Late Model Series. Terry, as I was explaining just before I hooked you in here, we had a little meltdown trying to do the Straight Line with Stevie show tonight. I got into the studio here. I had difficulties at it. A nightmare getting here today, and then had trouble hooking up with Stevie. But anyway, we're ready to rock and roll here.
Sounds like it. Sorry you had so much trouble, but now we'll have fun.
Well, you know, it's been an interesting week. We've had three co-hosts out sick, one of them in the hospital. Carol Wicks got out of the hospital last night, and glad to hear that. And C.C. Brooks is recovering from the flu, and Rick Angies was ill as well this week. So it's been interesting.
Well, I finally get better, and everybody else gets
better. Yeah, there you go. So what do we have on tap tonight for the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane show?
Well, we're going to have Colt James on the show. Colt James is one of the young guns of the ASA. We're going to have Bob Barney on the show. Ron Varney's brother, who handles the tires for ASA, and also he did some testing, Jack, for the new crate motor that's going to come out in 2009 at Lakeland, and wanted to talk to him about that a little bit. And also Linda Twyford, I believe that's how you pronounce it. She is the new sales and PR person for the ASA. She is the better half of Brad Bartow. And she's going to be on the show tonight, tell us about what her duties are and what they're going to do new this year for the sales and PR. But our first guest is on the line, Jack. He's been on before, and he is one of the more famous persons in the ASA driving, Robbie Pyle. Robbie, welcome to the show.
Yeah, glad to talk to you guys.
Yeah, Robbie, I met at the at the ASA banquet, which we all froze to death. But, Robbie, to get started, I know you're on the road back from Iowa, but give us a little insight on what your plans are for the 2008 season.
Well, yeah, this year will be real similar to what we had done last year. I drove a car Roger Andrews owns, and working hand-in-hand with Powell on some development stuff with the car. So we just kind of pick and choose our races. We all get together and pick the ones that we think we'd either have the most fun at or where Chaz would like us to run, or Chaz Howell would, what area he'd like us to run in. And kind of what we're doing again this year. Had a whole lot of fun last year doing that, so we're just going to try it again.
Well, you're at a position in your career. You've done everything. You run trucks. You run the Busch Series or the Nationwide Series. I never get used to calling it Nationwide Series.
Go ahead, Terry.
But Do you want to do any more of that, Robbie? You want to do any more truck deals or nationwide deals? Is anything like that in your future?
You know, it's not. I'm not trying real hard for that. I really enjoy the kind of racing we're doing right now. I've got a little sign business that's doing very well and growing, and that's been kind of a priority last years. And you know, I know a lot of people down there that are doing it for a living, and I'm not so sure that it doesn't seem like a whole lot of fun to me. I guess, you know, I've done some of it, but I really enjoy the kind of racing we're doing now. Not a lot of pressure. The only pressure we have is on ourselves or the guys that, mainly the Hal guys. You know, we have to win races so they can sell cars. But we still, I really enjoy it. And even at the ASA level, that was a lot of fun years. But the pressure was still there to perform, and the money was big enough there that does take some of the fun away from it, for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? You know, I've heard that several times. Billy Bigley comes to mind. Went up the ladder to a bit and raced a little bit, and tried to do some races with a team in the Cup. And he told me, you know, after it was all over, that he was so much happier to be racing back at the super late models at the local tracks and racing a little bit of Hooters, where there just wasn't all the pressures that, like you said, that took away from the fun of doing it.
It is so much pressures on that type of race, and that does take that away. Of course, if that's your job, that, you know, part of it, just like any job, I guess you have some of that. But I do really like short track and doing this type of racing, and obviously winning, you know, is a big part of it. We did very well last year, won a lot of races, and that makes part of the fun for me. And when you go up to those higher levels, there's a lot of people that determine whether or not, you know, your day's going to be good. At this way here, you got a little bit more control over, I guess, how fun your day's going to be.
Is the ASA right now with the Crate Motors, Robbie? I know we talked earlier about the new Crate Motor that's supposed to come out in 2009. Is that the way that you think they should go? I mean, I know they have that new Southwest series where the super late models. But what's your take on the Crate Motor program?
Yeah, I like it myself just because of the cost. And I guess I'm more of I'm like a chassis guy. And I don't know a thing about engines, so I just like to put them in and go. So it's great for me. But the cost is part of it. And as long as the rules are structured right, you know, what should equal out the racing, you know, and make people work a little bit more on driving and the cars themselves. But I'm a fan of them. I did some crate engine races against some of the super late models last year, and we picked the strategic tracks and did like Columbus Motor Speedway, you know, CRA race with the ASA late model, and we actually won that one. And
wow.
You know, having a lot of horsepower on the size track that we run sometimes just makes it that much harder to get the car handling. And
how many cars were in that race, Robbie?
You know, I don't know what I forget what it was. It was a typical CRA type race. And
where'd you start from?
You know, I don't remember that either. I remember I had a really good battle with Brian Campbell there at the end. But that track is really all about momentum and handling. And even the outlaw late models that I had actually grown up on there at Columbus Motor Speedway, the wedge body cars, we started taking the horsepower out of those just to go faster. So,
right.
Yeah, it isn't always about the most horsepower.
Yeah.
Even in a CRA race I'd run at the end of the year at Nashville, we were running a McGonagall sealed engine, which was under horsepower compared to some of the big, you know, the 9-to-1.
Right.
And I think we all three, I ran third in the race, and I think first, second, and third all had a sealed engine.
Was that a 3/8 mile track?
Pardon?
Was that a 3/8 mile track or bigger?
No, Nashville's
You're talking about Nashville?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Columbus. I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, no, that was Nashville at the end of the year, was where we ran third. But Columbus, yes, is 3/8. It's just a circle.
Yeah.
You're never going straight. So.
Yeah, and I know in Florida, they were mixing them up, too, the super late models, crate motors, spec motors, whatever. And on the smaller tracks, the guys with the bigger motors really don't have a chance.
Yeah, it's getting that way. The more and more you see, and that's difficult. The changeover is going to be a bit difficult, I see, just because it's very tough to kind of equal out, you know, one motor package weight-wise, another, because it really varies on the kind of racer you got. If you got a really good racer, he'll make both packages look good, or, you know, a not-so-good racer is going to not make a crate engine look so good. So, very tough to run them, I think, all in one class and keep things fair. But I think that's where it seems like a lot of series are heading that way. They're slowly converting over.
Sure.
One of the most amazing things to me, the track record on the new Bristol track is held by an ASA crate motor.
Yeah.
And
we actually at Bristol. We were in the Bristol race this year. You know, we ran second, but in my practice run, my practice run was might have been a tenth and a half or 2/10 quicker than the pole speed. And I was really thinking we were going to get down in the real low 15s, possibly the 14s, and then I messed up on my qualification. I think we ended up second or third or something. But
right,
just about you know, you're flat footing it around there with those cars.
Right.
That was a ball.
Was scary, but a ball, huh?
Yeah. One of my most favorite tracks is Winchester Speedway. Ran a whole lot of races there. And to me, it still seems like Winchester is faster yet than Bristol.
Right.
I'm not sure why. Maybe Bristol's so smooth and all that, but...
How does Winchester compare to Salem?
Compared to what's that?
Salem.
Oh, Salem. Salem's not quite as fast. They're either Salem's very neat. The 3 and 4 is very fast. The 1 and 2, you have to lift quite a bit. They're both very unique, and they're both they got to respect the place, because you can. I've wrecked at all those places, and it happens pretty quick.
Right. Well, Robbie, we're gonna, like I said, we won't keep you as long as we normally do, because I know you're on the road driving at the moment, and we sure appreciate your time. And hopefully, we can meet down the road. What's your first scheduled race?
Yeah, it looks like ORP April 26th, I think.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be, I don't know if it's been announced, but be part of the Triple Crown race. Yeah, ORP, Gateway, and a track to be announced soon.
Yeah, that cat's out of the bag. Go ahead and let the rest of the cat out of the bag, Terry.
Well, I like scoops on this show. But, it's going to be a special deal. And when we make the announcement, it's going to pique a lot of interest because of the first-place payout. And that's those three races you'll want to go to, Robbie, because you have a chance to make a good dollar on it. But
Gateway will be a pretty fast too.
Yep, Gateway, yeah. And ORP is a handling track, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. Big corners. And I really liked that place, and I've always qualified well there. And always something happening in a race. I remember racing Butch Miller, and I started on the pole, and him and I got in a real good battle, and I don't remember what happened. I wrecked terrible in the race, and it was him and I, and he got the blame for it, but I don't think it was really his fault. Yeah, but we're just always something. So I'm looking forward this year to running and trying to get a win or at least finish there.
Well, you'll have an opportunity April 26th, I believe it is, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Robbie, we sure appreciate it again. You have a safe trip home.
Thanks, Robbie.
Okay.
And
yeah.
We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, we'll see you guys this summer.
All right. Thanks, Robbie.
We'll see you.
Bye.
So, so Mr. Wall, a couple of little things here. Chuck Gonzalez is going to be returning as the official photographer of the ASA Late Model Series.
Right.
And he's also going to be doing the USPRO Cup Series photography. Chuck's a good guy.
Chuck is a good guy. I met him at the ASA banquet. In fact, I'm going to send you a picture that he took of me at the ASA banquet.
You going to autograph it?
Did I autograph it?
I said, will you?
I will. It costs you, but I will.
But, what do you think about Randy LaJoy? Randy LaJoy is going to go ASA racing. Is this right?
What do you think
about that?
Yeah, I think that's a neat deal. That's a very well-respected name in the industry. And Randy, I met him once in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's a good guy. He called Todd Bodine an onion head, and it stuck with him. Todd Bodine's nickname is onion head.
Well, it fits.
And it fits, yeah. So. Well, you got to pay some bills.
Other than maybe calling him Crash Bodine, I don't. Whoa, here. Now, 2-time NASCAR Busch Series, and I will say Busch because it's now nationwide, but it was right. Busch at the time. I don't know what the protocol is and all that. I really don't care. Randy LaJoy will also make his ASA Late Model Series debut in the Supersonic 100 on Saturday, July 12th, in the ASA Late Model Series Southern Division at Concord Motorsports Park.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. As a matter of fact, that's going to be a great race, Terry, because Concord is just a weird-shaped track. It's one of them D-shaped tracks. It's got downhill, and it's got a narrow, narrow front straight, and it's got a wicked turn four.
Right.
And, they get cooking all the way around that place, and then they got to come to turn four. And then the front straight is just so narrow. That was besides the turn, that was the most striking thing to me was how narrow that front straight was.
Well, you're going to have to, I am scheduled to be a technician for the ASA at Bronson Motorsports Park, the first race. So,
well, it's actually Bronson Motor Speedway.
Bronson Motor Speedway.
It's Mike Cope's Bronson Motor Speedway.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, buddy. Heritage all the way back. I mean, we're talking ASA heritage.
Oh, yeah. Is Travis being that show, too, probably won't he?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I'll tell you what, Travis is good. Travis is good.
Are you going to be there?
I'll let you figure that one out. Let's go to break. I'll be right back. Let me see here. If we got it, do we have anything else we need to cover before?
No, but if we do, we'll do it after the next.
All right, let's just take a break here, and we'll be right back.
As soon as
I can figure out what buttons to hit. It's been a rough one.
Well, we'll try and make it better.
To raise your land and business to new heights, then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
This is Logan Ruffin, driver of the Torco Chevrolet Monte Carlo on O'Reilly ASA Fastlane on Real Racing USA.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fastlane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries mean 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
And this is the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. And, Jerry, do we what did we hook up here with?
Well, Jack, we have a lady on the line, would you believe? And she is the new sales and PR person for the O'Reilly, the ASA late model series. Her name is Linda, and I'm going to try and pronounce the last name. I hope I don't get it wrong, Linda. Twyford?
That's correct.
Linda Twyford.
And if you, we were on TV, you would notice, Linda, that I just tipped my hat to you. Welcome to the ASA Fastlane Show.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Linda, you were, by the way, you know Brad Barlow, who was on the show before, Jack? This is his better half. And they're going to be working together on the road to do PR work a week before the race, I believe. Could you explain a little bit about exactly what you and Brad's going to be doing?
Well, what we're going to be doing is we'll be taking the toter, which has the tech equipment and so on in it, to each of the races, and we're going to be the pre-arrival team to set up like a week before or so the race so that we can get out and market, hand out flyers, do some car shows, and ultimately get some butts in the seats.
That's the bottom line, isn't it? Putting butts in the seat.
The bottom line.
But give us a little of your background, not particularly Brad, but your background in racing.
Well, in racing, I came to know through racing more closely with the ASA through Brad. But my family's a big race family anyway, so I'm not completely, you know, non-educated about it. This is my first time out on the road like this, though, so I'm excited to, you know, get going on this. But I have worked in the entertainment field before, in radio, mostly media, and I worked on the sales and marketing side there and produced remote. And did that for like 13, 14 years. So I pray I don't have a problem going out and doing all this. It's just going to be a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
but kind of the same. So
you're going to be doing a lot of radio work on this when you go ahead of time.
I'll be doing the buys, and I'll be doing basically my title is marketing associate. So I'm Sandy's right hand person.
Uh-huh.
And this frees her up to take care of other badly needed things that need her full-time attention. So mm-hmm. I can do this in transit from place to place, and once we get into that town and see where the location is and do a lot of pre-research on the area and know who it is that we need to market to, that's what our target's going to be.
Now, had ASA ever had anything like this before?
I think Sandy and pretty much, you know, and the the families pretty much had to do everything themselves and then try to show up and put on a show. And with us being out there, you know, on the road a week ahead of time, that it's so much easier for them to come into, because there's a lot of travel involved, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Linda, when
we're going to be at every single race, so.
I was going to say, Linda, when you come to Bronson,
uh-huh.
You're going to come to Bronson? Is that one of the ones you'll be doing the marketing for?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, right down the road from Bronson Speedway, Bronson Motor Speedway, about 15 miles, 16 miles down the road, is Florida University. It's the swamp. They got 40,000 college kids, so the key is beer. I've been trying to tell them up there. Nobody wants to listen to me, but I'm telling you, that's how you put people in Bronson. It's beer.
40,000 kids.
Now, Florida University just happens to, they sell more paraphernalia, college, you know, hats, T-shirts, whatever, you know, sweatshirts, jackets. They sell more than any college in the country.
Wow.
Yeah. It's huge.
Would that be the Gators?
Yeah, that'd be the swamp. That'd be the Gators.
That'd be the Gators.
It's right down the road. It's 15 miles from Gainesville. It's really cool.
We actually live in Florida, so we're kind of getting a taste of the Floridians down here. So
you just moved down there, didn't you?
We just completed moving, And Toter just showed up today, as a matter of fact. Poor Brad had to drive that thing down through all that weather. Quite interesting.
Oh, boy.
But they're in Michigan, and we're in Florida, so we've got this part of the United States covered, I think.
You said you do the buys for the commercial spots and all of that. Do you also do the preparing the ads, or do you have someone else do that?
Well, Brad's been mostly doing that. He has such good experience with what to put on the recordings and stuff with when he was operations manager at I-70.
Yeah.
And he just put together this last one, and their 30-second spots are going to air in the mornings and the evening drives. On the first race that we're going to, so it's got to be quick and to the point and get them in there. And we do have on the first race here, we do have a remote that's set up at a brand new grocery store that apparently is just busy 24/7. And the manager there is so excited for us to be there, he can't hardly stand it. So,
well, that's great. You know, straight me out, it's one of my pet peeves, okay? Because, I mean, I got involved in this whole deal 12 years ago, really, in terms of the media, racing media, motorsports media, pretty much as Terry will attest, from a marketing point of view. I've been sponsoring cars and stuff, and that's how I slid into this whole thing. That was our deal. What drives me crazy is tracks go, and this is, I see this all the time. They go and they buy radio advertising from the local salesperson who comes to see him, and then they let the radio station make up the ads, and these people know nothing about racing or selling the racing people.
Yeah, that is not a good thing. That is, if anything in radio, one of the things that I did learn was that it's very important to know what your customer's, product is. You have to know it inside and out. No, we do it ourselves.
Yeah, good.
Now, he can actually project the excitement in his voice, and he knows what we need. Like I said, he's done it several times before. But you really have to know that product and believe in that product before you can put that on the air. We also do newspaper too, so we're going to have quite a bit of inserts in. Inserts work real well, work very well.
Yeah, Brad has a neat laugh too.
Oh yeah.
Remember the last show he was on?
Oh, God, yeah.
No comment.
Anyway,
so you're going to Tri-County, the first race, correct?
Yes, we are.
Okay, and then Bronson.
And then Bronson. Okay.
What are some of the things, what are some of the key things that put people in the seats in terms of advertising that you've stumbled across? I mean, I'm not asking you to give up trade secrets or anything, but is there some things you can share with us?
I will tell you, it's an awful lot of internet work, and it's an awful lot of of phone work, but you would not believe the organizations out there that the kids would love to be involved with, the school choirs. Mm-hmm. The, you know, they come in and do the national anthem. Any of your local military families or people involved there, they don't mind coming out and doing, you know, and then they bring their family with them. And the community billboard. Every single newspaper has a free community billboard.
Sure.
And you can send, and they'll cut it, so you kind of want to keep it short and to the point where it's at, how much it is, when the event is, you know, going to take place, when it's, if you can get couponage anywhere, you know, $2 off and whatnot. And the billboards are a big thing, because I was able to find about 15 places that I could do that, and they're all within about probably 75 miles with a radius around the track.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a big race community. From what I've, you know, talked to the people down there, and or up there, I guess I should say, from where I'm at.
Oh, you're talking about Bronson? You're still talking about Bronson, yeah.
It's a lot of that, and honestly, you can say an awful lot in 30 seconds versus a 60-second spot.
Because sure.
It's to the point, and it's got to be an intention getter, and get them in and get them out, and just give them the pertinent information, and you're done. And that sparks enough interest where they'll go to the website, and they'll see, oh, my gosh, look at all these places these people go. And one of our... Other things that we, you know, look towards and look forward to is the Race Against Drugs. They're not going to be at every single event that we have. They don't have placement with all of the schools and all of the tracks that we're at. But they have a huge program going with the kids where they, but it's a big ordeal because they actually go into the schools and have the kids sign up. And it's something that they really try to get out there and promote.
Yeah, you know, Florida has changed so much in the last 20 years. The demographics of Florida have completely flip-flopped in many, many locations where, say, 20 years ago, the over 50 population in many towns and cities in Florida, it was just, you know, 60, 70-year-old people dominated the demographics. And over the last 20 years, that has gradually shifted a lot. Lot more young folks in Florida now.
Oh, there is, yeah, just everywhere.
Do these guys?
And they like their music too.
That's right. That's right. Since the DJs at many of these FM stations around the country have gone to, like, you know, they're not really DJs like they say were a long time ago, and they're more computer. It's all computer program. When these guys go out to do live remotes now. Is it different than it used to be, or is it still like you can go crash them? I used to go crash these live remotes to help promote my businesses.
They're still, as far as I know, unless they've changed it in the last few years, but they're still live. And
yeah.
I don't, you know, people just come and show up, and, it, you know, it's the most popular ones that get the most money and the most attention for that, you know, particular that particular remote. It's quite expensive. It's very expensive, especially if they have really high numbers on listenership.
That's why I always go, I never paid for them. I always, when I had my retail stores, I would go crash them. We'd get some pretty girls and some cars, and we would go take the DJ who was doing the live remote. We'd take a pizza. We'd basically crash the whole deal, and we'd manage to get our name in there somehow.
I don't think any of the stations I work for would have minded.
But yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? The DJs love it. They're in for fun, and then in the morning shows, of course, it's a no brainer, you know, to crash them things.
Oh yeah.
Well, Linda, we want to thank you for being on the show. We got to move on, and see, it wasn't so bad after all, was it?
No.
How are you liking Florida?
I'm liking it. Now, tonight we're supposed to have a little bit of light breeze tonight, but then within the next 3 or 4 days, by Saturday, it's supposed to be back in the 80s, so I look forward to that.
Cool. Where are you located?
We're in Central. Florida. We're north of Orlando. We're in Apopka.
Apopka. That's cool.
Apopka. Yes.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
No, I'm sure we'll have you on before throughout the summer. Getting updates from you. And,
we'll see you at Bronson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll see you, Terry.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, go ahead.
Linda Twyford.
Twyford.
NPR.
Twyford. Good. You did that good, Jerry.
What? Ended good?
Twyford.
Twyford, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I did have some education. All right, let's pay some bills, and we'll get our next guest up and ready to go.
Is O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Hi, this is David Strimme, driver of the Atrius Holmes number 64 car for Rusty Wallace. And you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star race car bodies. 5-star race car bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star race bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
We're back with Terry Wall and myself, Jack Smith. This is the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. And Terry, let's see, what other big news is there coming out of the ASA these days?
Well, if I told you the latest news, I'd have to kill you, really. It's going to be a scoop that will hopefully break on our show. It's about the Triple Crown races. As soon as I get an okay to break the news, Jack, you'll be the first to know.
How do you know that I already don't know that?
I think you do not know that. But if you want to throw it out there, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to do that. We get in trouble doing that sort of thing.
Oh, but when have you shied away from trouble?
Well, I'm always shy.
To the media.
That's my old thing. That's not the new thing. That's old thing. I haven't been in trouble in a long time. Let's get into some trouble, though. Who we have with us?
All right. We have a gentleman that is, I believe, the president of RV Performance Tire Sales. He's the one that does, I believe, the fuel and tires for the ASA Late Model Series. And he's the older brother of Ron Varney. And we have Bob Varney on the line. Hey, Bob, welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
How you doing, guys? Glad to have me on. I'm glad to be on prepared tonight with you guys.
We are certainly glad to have you on.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to start picking on me, Terry.
Oh, okay. Now, there's a couple things, Jack, I'm interested in talking to Bob about. Bob, the ASA Challenge Series and the North and South divisions run a different tire, is that correct?
That's correct. The Challenge division, we run on a radial tire, and of course the Bias Fly tire in the North and South.
And may I ask, and and I have no idea the answer, but why the difference?
Well, something that my brother keeps reminding me of, because he's taught me to think more like a promoter instead of the race car driver. You know, with him being able to separate himself on a radial tire, he's doing just that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's on a radial tire, he can't bill himself as something different.
Mm-hmm.
He's just another series that's out-competing at 100-lap races. And it is good to have the talent pool that we have right now going into professional racing, as you see, with some training on radial tires that they wouldn't be able to get anywhere else.
Do you know of any other short track series, Bob, that is running the radial at all?
No, not at all. In fact, I've asked the question several times. And, you know, I just think people think of it as, you know, like the devil tire. You know, they don't understand it, or it's, you know, tough to drive on, or it's more expensive to wear. I really don't agree with that, because I see these guys come over, the teams themselves come over, and they're actually bringing less people to the racetrack. They're bringing that one less tire guy because they don't have to really work these tires at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually ends up being more affordable for them in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, when you start bringing bodies to the racetrack, you got to feed them too. They got to have a place to sleep and everything
mm-hmm.
else. So.
Well, you know, Bob, when the Hooters Pro Cup went from regular race tires to the radials, that wasn't no big. It wasn't all that. There was a lot of speculation. It was going to, like what you were talking about, it was going to be this or that and the other thing, and it actually was no big deal.
Right. I mean, the first year we were on a radial tire was the BFG tire. That's evolved into what the Hooters Cup is on now.
Right.
Hoosier has us on the radial tire that we're on. A lot of guys think that they're a bias ply tire that thinks it's a radial, or a radial that races like it's a bias ply, however you want to look at it. But, you know, I myself have raced on the tire too, and can add that, you know, you can really, really drive these tires hard, and you don't have to worry about getting into trouble with them where you would like a cup radial.
And the cost difference, I know racers don't want to talk about cost at all, but just give us an idea what's the difference in cost. And like you said, you have to have one less guy because the radios, you put air in them to a certain pounds, and then you're done with it. But what is the cost difference on the tire, Bob?
The tire right now separated by $50 a piece in tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's actually you know, a couple hundred bucks a set. That's different. But again, when you separate that from the crew member,
right,
that has to be their paid annual, you know, a daily wage, I'm sorry. Again, the expenses associated with bringing somebody else along. Not that you don't want that person coming with you, but you don't have to afford yourself that on a lower buck team. So
right.
Maybe. And, you know, like I said, with the bias ply tire, you've got to go over, you've got to find the sizes, you've got to get them sized up,
mm-hmm.
you've got to spend the time purging back and forth, make sure the tire doesn't grow or shrink on you.
Right.
But the radial tire, like you said, you show up, you ask me for four tires, I give you four tires on your rims, they're already aired up with nitrogen, you put them on your car and you roll to the scale
mm-hmm.
for qualifying. So it's really a no-muss kind of deal when you show up for a radial race.
Now, you also do the fuel, don't you, Bob?
Well, I did in the past, and now it's just more myself working in conjunction with Torco Race Fuel to make sure that we've got distribution at the racetracks.
Right.
I myself may not be the one dispensing the fuel, but I'm working closely with Alan and the guys over at Torco to make sure that who's coming, you know, we work with them on forecasting gallons at the racetrack and how
right.
much they need to bring, so that they're not going upside down showing up at the racetrack for us.
Okay. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is you took the new crate motor for the Challenge Series in 2009 to Lakeland and tested it. Now, we got a chance to look, Jack, at the ASA banquet at the new motor in Bob's car, and it is, give us an idea, Bob, what the difference between horsepower between today's crate motor and that crate motor, and also another interesting fact, Jack, about it, you can't add anything to it. It's sealed. See is what you get. You can't go send it to an engine builder and try and tweak it or anything. It's sealed. and give us an idea, Bob, about the new motor and some of the things that you found out about it at Lakeland.
Well, the new motor, in comparison to our current crate engine, has about an extra 100 horsepower on top of our current package.
Mm-hmm.
To drive the thing, of course, you know, with the extra 100 horsepower, they're a lot of fun. But in comparison from current package to this new package we worked on, the LS3, again, like any racing, you've got to keep it smooth and rolling through the corners, but you can make the car do a little bit more with the throttle response that you get, per se, with an ill-handling race car. If the car's a little bit tight, you can work the thing a little bit, then let the horsepower correct a couple of things for you. To where with the current package, not to say you can't adjust your driving style, but if you're off, you're off with current stuff. You've got to be extremely smooth, which, again, is a very good thing, and I think that's why you see the caliber of driver that we have today. But this new package, it's very much in between what you have with a current 9-to-1 program and our current crate motor package that we have now. Again, get a little extra throttle responsive out of the corner, get your attention. Again, it makes it real fun to drive. I think it's going to be very well received by everybody that participates in that next year.
And one of the things that I really like about it is the sealed motor. You can't tinker with it. And I understand that GM has predicted these motors will last a year, maybe two.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out now, because rather than throw a hasty engine or package at our racers, we want to afford ourselves the time to back up what we're, you know, touting right now.
Right.
You know, GM and ASA alike. You know, GM's telling us this thing, us, Ron and I, what this is going on, and Russ and the other parties involved with what we're doing. And, you know, everybody's skeptical.
Right.
And they brought a package in, and we built the car and put the motor in the car. And, you know, I keep telling my brother, again, I mentioned how thinking like a racer and he's thinking like a promoter, and I keep looking at these parts that GM's throwing at us, and I'm like, you can't run this stuff. It's all stock. It's this, it's that. Let's change this. Let's put that on there. And my brother says, no, we're going to go with a complete package out of the crate. We're going to offer it to our racers, because the more stuff we have to introduce to this, the more expensive it becomes.
Right.
So again, it's cost effectiveness and cost consciousness that Ron's applying toward this, to where we can offer an engine sealed from ASA with all front dress on it, meaning alternator, power steering, water pump, crank. We're hoping to include the headers and a motor mounts and carburetor package, and we're hoping to target, you know, $10,000 or in that range. And again, I think that's extremely economical, because you're spending every bit of that to outfit a current crate motor.
Right. And all you have to do to this motor is change oil.
Exactly. You got to put your clutch and bell housing on it, put your transmission, and hook the drive shaft up. You're ready to go racing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little extra wiring that comes along with this, with the coil packs that are on them.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it was a very pleasurable experience. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be overwhelmed when I first looked at it before I put it in the car, but it was a very easy build.
Did you get a chance to get some lap times compared to the old crate motor?
Well, we never have given it a complete shakedown as far as in race trim.
Oh, okay.
If you want to use those words. We did go and shake the car down, and there were mild issues, or moderate issues, if you will, that some engine baffling in the valve covers that we need to address. GM has corrected that already. We made some provisions for oil cooler on the engine.
Mm-hmm.
So the teams don't have to go out and have to pay to have anything machined, or show reason to have things machined, or have their hands on these things.
Right, right.
So, you know, being able to provide that information to GM now and early, they've been able to react to it in a way that teams don't have to worry about once they get it in their shop. Now, mm-hmm. What do we do with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, your time went by quick.
You're kicking me out already.
You're full of information, but I got a very young race car driver that's going to be on the show, the last guest, Colt James. You know him.
I've heard of him.
Uh-huh.
I've had him mad at me a couple of times, too, on the racetrack, but it all ended good when it was over with.
Yeah, he's gone.
I think the world of him and his dad, and I tell you what, Colt James, if I may say it, those guys are the epitome of what this series is all about.
Yeah. And I want to mention, Jack, Bob has the lady in the background that actually does all the work and is the boss.
Her yes.
Gretchen. And she's listening to us right now, Jack.
Hey, send me the invoice, Terry. I'll pay you for that later.
Yeah. Thanks,
right,
Bob. Thank you very much, because I was just sitting here sucking it all up here. It was a ton of information, and as people listen, a lot more people listen to this show like week after week, and as in the archived editions, and you gave out a tremendous amount of information for racers to look at.
Well, guys, I'm always available for you. If you need me, I'd be on any time for you. It's been a pleasure.
Actually, we're going to have Gretchen on the show next.
Fair enough, Terry. I'll fit me in when you can, then.
All right. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate
it.
All right. Bye-bye. Bob Barney. I think we could have gave Bob a half hour and still got more information.
All right. I'm going to go to a break here, and you round up Colt, and let's get to it.
All right, sir.
Is O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
And there we are. We're back. Hit that button wrong, Terry.
You just had a bad night, huh?
Yeah, it's been rough. And whatever. Mister, we have the young man who has the real race car name.
I believe he has a movie star name.
I'm telling you, Colt James.
Colt James. Welcome to the show, Colt.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So, go ahead, Jack. I talked all last time.
No, that's all right. You're doing fine. I'm actually behind the scenes here. I'm dealing with some issues with the production values.
I'll go ahead and start then. Colt, like we were saying when Jack was on break, you're all set with your schedule for 2008?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much finalized. I mean, we're pretty much just going to go for the South Point is what we set our goals at right now. So all the South races are in our plans right now, so looking forward to it.
Are you going to run any of the special challenge races like at Bristol and Gateway International Speedway, OPR, or anything like that?
We might look at how we're doing midway through the season and might run a Bristol or something. But at the current moment, I'm pretty focused. I've been running this will be the third year in the ASA, and came really close last year, and I'm just really focused on one thing, and we really want to win the championship. So.
Well, I don't blame you, and that would give you a stepping stone for the next deal that you wanted to do. How old are you, Colt?
I'm 24.
24. So are you looking to do anything other than the ASA, or maybe Craftsman truck or the Nationwide deal?
Of course. I mean, I'd always, you know, love to move up, but, you know, if nothing ever happens, I'm having a having a blast, you know, running the ASA series. So I feel like it's a very competitive series, and hopefully will move me up somewhere. But if not, I mean, I'm enjoying it.
So you like the crate motor deal?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I was I ran some super late model stuff, and that the engine just hurt me trying to stay competitive and if you ever had any problems. So I like the crate motor.
So Bronson will be your first race then, at the end of March.
Yeah, Bronson, I believe it's March 28th, be the first race, and go down there for the Friday test and everything. So looking forward to that. We had a lot of fun down there last year.
What do you do to get prepared? What are you working on things in the off season here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got a new car that we're running this year, so it's been a busy off season, just trying to get everything ready.
You want? May I ask what chassis your new car is?
Yeah, it's a Hamke.
Hamke. Boy, a lot of people are going with Hamke.
Yeah. I mean, he has really nice stuff, and Robert, his shop's only about 10 minutes away from my house, so that was a that's always a plus too.
Right. And you want to mention your crew chief and the people that is helping you out with your 2008 season?
Yeah, I mean, my dad has been pretty much, you know, my crew chief my whole life, Terry James, and then my wife Alicia goes to all the races, and David Umpscheid and Jamie Hazelwood are pretty much the crew that we got. We're small crew, but I mean, we get it done, and it's always fun at the racetrack with that group.
You got any sponsors you want to mention?
I wish I had some.
Sounds like a lot of drivers, huh, Jack?
Yeah, this time of year, that's a tough thing. What kind of, do you have somebody working for you there, or are you trying to do it yourself? What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, we just do everything ourselves, you know. I mean, I have, you know, some sponsors. The main one would be Magnum Trailers. I mean, they've helped me out pretty much my whole career. But, you know, nothing big, nothing set in stone, but we're always looking. And but, you know, like you said, that's everybody's deal right now, is just trying to find some sponsorship.
Yeah, it's but, you know, as things, you know, it's amazing how often it just seems to come together and you get what you need at the end. You know what I mean? By the time the season starts, it seems like most of the time people pull off something and are able to find some way to make it all happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to race bad enough, and you'll do whatever it takes, you know, to get to the racetrack.
Yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, he didn't you finish second to Brandon Johnson and the most popular driver?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And you're trying to get along good, don't you?
I've only met Brandon once at Hickory Motor Speedway. That was the only time I've ever met him and raced with him.
Well, we know that Brandon had his army of computer clickers there. I mean, he had his keyboard army lined up. did you also have an army lined up?
Oh yeah, I mean, being from Texas, we had a big following down there, and really got to thank everybody from Texas and Texas Speed Zone, really, who voted and got me at least that far in the competition. So,
well, you didn't lose to a bad guy. Brandon's a good guy, so being second was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking for. I mean, that was a cool deal, but especially for the fans to participate in. I mean, it was a real big deal on TexasSpeedZone.com, so it was pretty cool to see how it finalized out and everything.
I think we need to tell Ron Varnio he needs to have the banquet in a warm weather climate.
At the beginning of the show, Terry, you mentioned about something with our first guest. I think it was Robbie Pyle. You were joking about being cold at the banquet. And when you said that, I thought, no, wait a minute. Here's a racing series that has lots of southern venues, you know?
Right.
And Why are you freezing to death with a banquet in the cold?
I have no idea. It was in Louisville, Kentucky. And the 3 days we were there, they had the coldest snap of the year. And it was cold. And the banquet hall, in fact, didn't have any heat in it to begin with. And everybody was freezing.
Let's see. Tampa in February, January.
Orlando, Florida.
Orlando or Louisville.
You think, Colt, next year when we present that ring for you for the Southern Champion, we could talk Ron into having the banquet in a warm climate?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm always up for Texas, you know. Warm there.
So. The Yellow Rose of Texas.
Yeah.
You know, I'll agree, it's definitely cold. I think it was about 6 degrees on Sunday whenever we left.
Yeah, yeah, it was awful. Colt, are you going to be as prepared as you can be when you go to Bronson?
I hope so. I mean, you always try and, you know, go to the racetrack, you know, 100% prepared, but we're going to try our best and just see where it takes us. The first race, you know, being the first race on the car and everything, will be more of kind of like a test session, but hopefully it'll come out good. And glad we had that first day of practice on Friday, you know, big full day of practice.
So are you going to take the car somewhere and shake it down before you make the trip?
The plan is to, but you know how plans change in racing. So,
right.
So hopefully we'll get to shake it down at a local track maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to appreciate you being on. I'm sorry we got to you late, but I'm sure throughout the summer, Colt, we'll have you on a lot. Because I'm sure you're going to lead the points and win that championship, so we'll probably have you on quite a bit.
I hope so, and I look forward to hearing from you guys.
See you at the bull ring, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you.
Bye-bye. All right, Colt James. That is a good name.
Colt James. And he's from Texas.
He's from Texas.
Go figure. So,
think his dad might own a Colt 45?
I'm telling you. Yeah, so he needs to get like a sponsor like Ruger or Colt or somebody like
that. Take that sponsorship away from Michelle Theriault.
Well, she doesn't have it anymore. Somebody else already beat him to that one. So
Glock.
Somebody else has Glock.
Okay.
But Glock's not from Texas, man.
Yeah.
That's more Germanic or something. Anyway, man, that's I'll tell you what, I am. We covered some ground here tonight.
Oh yeah, yeah, man.
And
all good interviews, all personal people, and the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane did itself well tonight. And the ASA is going to be a tremendous, tremendous series this year. I believe.
I think so. I tell you what, just as a note for our listeners, the moment that this show is over, we are going to be shutting down our. Streaming servers to do some maintenance because we've got some issues going on that are making it rough to deliver the show to you. So we will be off the air, so to speak, after we leave here. So
all right. I just want to thank again Colt James, Bob Barney, Linda Twyford, and Robbie Powell for being on the show tonight.
All right, Terry.
And thank you, Jack.
Yeah, keep up, keep going and trucking, man, and I'll we'll talk to you
Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Later.
Yeah. Bye.
You've been listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. We'll see you next time. Same time, same channel.